2 Kings 4 and 1 through 7. I've read these verses before. I've used this as a text perhaps once since I've been here. We're going to go there again and look at this set of scriptures again. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." I want to preach with a title that we've used before as a cliche: when push comes to shove. When push comes to shove. Lord, open up our eyes, hallelujah, to understand that sometimes you've just got to push harder than we've pushed in the past to accomplish what you want us to accomplish, Lord. The violent must take it by force. And Lord, you've chosen us to be those people, to be overcomers. So help us to do what you've commissioned us to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I think that we would probably all agree that nobody likes to be pushed. Nobody likes to be pushed. Sometimes you watch some football games, they do more pushing after the play than they do when they were playing. And one pushes one, what happens? Push you back. And then the little push becomes the shove. And before long, it becomes the fist. And before long, the referee trying to break it up. Nobody likes to be pushed. Nobody likes pushy people. And if I asked tonight, "Is anybody pushy in here?" You wouldn't know why to raise their hand. No, but yet you know pushy people, but it's not me. And nobody likes to be pushed into buying a car. I've walked on car lots before. They say, "Are you buying today?" I said, "No, not now. Not now. If you're going to push me, I'm not going. No one wants to be pushed into getting married, to be pushed to go to college, be pushed, pushed, pushed. And many times, if we're not careful, you push people the other way because they don't want to be pushed. And when they would do it, they don't do it because you push me. And sometimes, you can be pushed. Well, there are people I do hang up on every once in a while. I try my best to say I'm not interested. You know what I'm talking about? "Sir, I'm trying to be..." Sometimes I'll tell them, "Sir, I'm trying to be nice and tell you I'm not interested." "But had did you..." Click! But do you know why they're pushy? Because being nice doesn't get the sale done. They're okay with that. They're fine with that. They don't care. They'll go right to the next person or call you again tomorrow and go through it again because they realize pushy people usually win. They win more than nice people. So the guy that's pushing you into this sale, after he sold it to you, you may be like, "What did I happen? What did I..." He's already got the sale. And it works. But I want to teach you a principle about this tonight, about living for God. And of course, none of us like to get shoved, don't like people to shove their weight around, so to speak. I don't want to be forced to move like people just shove you, get out of my way. If you'd asked me, I'd move. But besides these pushy people and these shovelers that are out there, I want you to understand
there are times in living for God you got to push. There's times you got to shove. There's times you just can't be so polite and so nice about it if you really want to get the job done. And that's where the saying comes, when push comes to shove. I got to do more than, you know, it's been said that if you want it done, when push comes to shove, he'll get it done. If I don't have, I'm gonna call him, you see, to get that job done. Because I know he will find a way to get that done. And you call Mr. Nice Guy and Mr. Polite, it's not going to happen. There are people that will find a way to get it done. And so Jesus spoke a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint or not to give up. And I want to tell you, I'm afraid sometimes we're not pushy enough with our prayers. And while we may not like pushy people, I'm fixing to tell you something about opening up the kingdom of God and open up the kingdom of heaven. David, when you read David's prayers, how long, O Lord, will thou allow the wicked to come against me? Lord, when will you tend to my adversary? He was pushing God into an answer. God, don't you see what they're doing? In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. And he heard me. And so I'm afraid sometimes we don't push hard enough. And you don't have to be big to be pushy. He told a parable about a judge. It was over a city. And there was a widow woman that lived in that city. And she went to the judge and said, avenge me of my adversary. And he said, even though I don't fear God, I don't fear man, the answer is no, I'm not avenging you. But then he got home and he got to thinking about it. He said, you know what? She's going to be back. And she will trouble me with her often coming. Therefore, even though I fear not God or I fear not man, see, she pushed her way in to the answer. He said, even though I don't fear God and I don't fear man, he said, I will avenge her of her adversary. You don't have to be big to be persistent. And so here's the answer of the parable, verse 7 of Luke 18. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry every once in a while, which whisper a prayer over their meals, or just remember me before they go to bed? Or it's not what it says. See, he gave this parable about a widow woman that pushed her way into judgment. And then he comes back and he says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Meaning he doesn't answer you immediately. He lets you keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. But after a while, there's an old song we used to sing, brother, it's me again, Lord. That's before they had It's Me Again, Margaret. It's me again, Lord. I got a problem that I can't solve. You remember that song? Hallelujah. Praying day, and I understand there's times we say, well, I'm just going to give this to the Lord. But you know what? When you can do that, you're not desperate enough. I'm just being honest with you. I do that too. I say, I'm just going to give this to the Lord. I'm not going to. But when you get really desperate, it's day and it's night and it's night and it's day. And he may bear long before he answered, but he said, how much more speedily will I do it than people in the world? So you don't have to be big to get an answer from God. I tell you, he said, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith upon the earth? Will he find persistence? Will he find faithfulness upon the earth? And sometimes I'm afraid, and I'm including myself when I preach to y'all, we pray too polite. We pray too polite. We just, Lord, if that's what you want, just have your way, Lord, just whatever. And I'm not saying we don't want him to have his way, but Lord, sometimes you know what needs to be done. It's like the Lord said, not my will, but thine be done. And sometimes I'm afraid we just pray a little bit too polite. Even Jesus said, since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses his way into it. He even said the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent Take it by force. Sometimes I'm afraid we're not violent enough with our prayer. It's the violent that takes it. Crying out to him. I showed you Sister Jody down here the other morning, Sunday morning. We didn't get through preaching or anything. She's down here wailing and crying. She needs help. Help. Day and night. We ought to be like that. And he sees that. But if we just always, y'all pray for me. Lord, we will, but I'm going to pray for you about as long as you said y'all pray for me. But when I see you travailing, and I see you crying, and I see tears, I'm going to pray harder for you. You understand that? Okay. I mean, sweet talk don't work good with God. I know you can't pressure God into anything. I understand that. But you press your way into his kingdom. Do you remember the time the man had a friend and he come over to his house and he didn't have anything to feed him? And he got up and the Bible says it was midnight. Now you come knocking on my door at midnight, you're going to meet Ethel. Not Jerry, Ethel. Ethel stays right by my bedside. Because at midnight, I'm at rest. But at midnight, he knocked on his door. And he said, hey, you in there? Yeah, I'm in here. What you want? It's midnight. Hey, I got a friend come over and I don't have any bread. Well, that's your friend. You tend to him. No. Look, I won't keep you long. I just need some bread. Look, man, he said, look, my children are in bed with me. You know, they put their security system was they put their bed against the door. So you couldn't come in without them knowing. And so he said, I have to get up. And he said, look, just go away. Hey, you still in there? I won't keep you long, I promise. Just give me some bread. Throws back the covers. He gets up. Here, take that. And the Bible says, he tells us that he gave him what he wanted because of his importunity. Because of his persistency, the man got up. How much more? He said, if you ask, I will give. Everyone that asketh will receive. And everyone that seeketh shall find. And everyone that knocketh shall be opened unto them. The problem is you do it one time. Well, I guess it wasn't his will. Lord, I need this. Well, I guess it wasn't his will. Am I getting through to anybody? Some things, I'm sorry, you just got to press your way into it till he finally says, okay, I'm going to answer your prayer. I don't know. I run a business, and somebody, one thing that always kind of gets me, and I might as well tell y'all this because when y'all say this, it gets to me too. I got something I want to talk to you about, but I'll do it next week. Well, just wait till next week to tell me you got something to talk to me about. Because I don't know what it is you want to talk to me about. But if you'll tell me what you want to talk about, like some people call me, they'll say, I want to make an appointment, come in and talk to you. I said, about what? Well, it's about such and such. I said, can't we talk now? See, I don't want to be worried with what it is. Anybody else like that? Well, don't do anybody else that way then. Tell them what you want. When I send people text, I won't tell them. I won't talk to you about this. So they don't, because they can think of 100 things that you think they may want to talk to you about. It may not be any of those things. Well, that's a good life lesson right there. And so I'm afraid that we are too inconsistent in our prayer life, in our asking, in our seeking, and our knocking. We find in our text tonight a little woman that's a widow whose husband was one of the sons of the prophets. And the Bible says that she cried unto Elisha. What she's doing in our terms, we say, boy, she vented on me. You ever vented on anybody? And that's what she's doing. She's venting. Venting. Because she begins to say unto him how that her husband, you know, he was a good man. You know that we live for God. You know we pay our tithe. You know I'm at every church time to come. You know. And she began to tell him about, what do you do when living for God seems not to work? What do you do when you do everything you looks like you're supposed to do, and here we are, the creditors are coming to take away her last possession, her two sons. Because the way of payment was to turn her two sons into slaves so that they could get restitution for what they owed. And I would believe that because she lost her son, she still had expenses but had no income. Probably so. But she cried out to him. And what she's crying out is this: I can't take it anymore. I'm going to tell you exactly when you will cry out, when you can't take it anymore. I can find every one of you's pain tolerance, everybody. And others, you just show them the needle and they're crying. Others, you may have to do a little bit more, but sooner or later, you can go all you want to, but sooner or later, we will find the point in which you are ready to cry out and don't care who hears you. That's why he said, I won't put more on you than you can bear without a way of escape. Your way of escape is to cry out. I don't know if you're listening to me. And you won't until you get there. And you all you want to, but when you finally get, I can't take this anymore. Anybody ever been there before? Sure you have. I have. Sometimes your way of escape is crying out. When Israel was in bondage for 400 years, they didn't cry out. But when they cried out, he said, I heard their murmuring and I heard their complaining. I heard that the pressure they was under, and I went to their rescue. Then he rescued them. Then they murmur and complain against God. Oh, Lord, that's a whole nother story. So she began to cry out and talk about her husband was a servant. Now he's dead, and you know how he was a servant. You know, and now the creditors are coming to take my two sons. What am I going to do? What can you do for me? And man, it was time when she couldn't be no more Mrs. Nice Guy. It was time for her to come forth. You can tell this is out of character for her. And even he said, what am I going to do with you? I'm in the same fix you're in. It's a famine going on. None of us have anything. How am I going to conjure up something to pay your debt off? It's gotten so bad that these creditors are on their way to take her sons. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Then he asked the second question, tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaiden has nothing. Has nothing. I have no thing in the house but or save a pot of. Almost like the next one, it comes right after this. The widow woman says, I don't have anything but a little meal and we're going to eat a cake and die. It's almost the same. It's the next parable. It's not the next parable. It's the next incident right after this one. Same chapter. All I have left is a pot of oil. I want someone to realize tonight that's all you need. What you have left, God can use that, multiply that, and bring you out of your circumstances. See, in our time of trouble, we seem to lose the ability to focus on what we have left, and we focus on what we have lost. The man of God didn't say, well, what have you lost? Tell me about all you lost. Well, I lost the car, my cable TV, I had to cut that off, believe it or not. You know, I'm fixing to cut this cell phone off, but that's the last thing I'm going to cut off, that cell phone. You know, Lord, when he gets that bad, they may take my sons. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. He didn't ask her what you lost, what you got left. Woo, hallelujah. If we just learn to praise God over what we have left
and quit murmuring and complaining over what we lost, you would see immediate turnaround in your life. Immediately, you would begin to rejoice. Oh, thank the Lord. I still got my mind. Hallelujah. Lost my job, but I still got my mind.
And it's really time for somebody to quit focusing on all the years and the things you've lost and realize I can still thank the Lord. I can still pray. I can still entertain the Spirit of the Lord. I can still pray for others. I can still come and hear the word of the Lord. If that's all you got left, honey, I'm telling you, to my dying days, the last thing I want to do, I want to leave here hearing about the word of the Lord. I'm not interested in killing one more deer or another dove. What I'm interested in is hearing the word of the Lord to the day I die. Hallelujah. And we need to cry out to Him, because so many times we go about the wrong way trying to get back what we lost till we lose what we have left. Isn't that what the gambler does? He says, man, I got to get back what I lost, so let's roll them again. And by the time he's through, he lost what he had left. And I'm afraid we do the same thing. We lose what we have left trying to get back what we lost, when what we need to do is take what we have left and turn it over to God and say, God, this is all I got left. Use it for your glory. Wow. And so rather than us asking God all the questions, let's let God ask us the questions. What do you have left in your house? And she said, I got nothing but a pot of oil. And he said, let's take what you've got and let's use it. Now, let me tell you about revelation and living for God. Pardon me for using my prop here, my phone here. But I want to tell you something. I think this works. Here we go. Well, did somebody sabotage my phone? Here we go. Yeah, there you go. See that right there? Now, let me tell you, this is how this works in living for God. You can look, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this jam. I just don't have anybody to talk to. I don't have anybody to lean on. And the Lord says, if you'll just follow my light. And he takes the light and he brings it over, way over here. It's still in the house, right? And he puts it right here on a songbook. And you say, Lord, I can't fight the enemy with that. Oh, he said, no, you can't. Turn to page 847. And what I want you to sing is The Beauty of Holiness. Y'all remember the story? Okay. And when you begin to sing The Beauty of Holiness, then the enemy will fight each other and you won't need to fight. This is your deliverance. See, we're looking for money to pay the debt. We're looking for other things to pay the debt. He says, no. It's right here. And the reason, see, when God puts his light on it, he reveals it in a different light. It was there all the time. But when he shines his light on it, you'll see it differently. You'll see it differently. And so he told Jehoshaphat, he said, you're not going to need a sword or a spear. Put that stuff up. You're not going to need that. He said, because I'm going to do it with you singing. That's going to be your deliverance. And you're going to sing about the beauty of holiness and let me do the rest. So when God puts his light on your deliverance, you better follow that. He said, that pot of oil you got, we're going to use that. Well, Lord, what's one pot of oil going to do? No, just listen. Just listen. And so he tells her, he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad from all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Now, I want to tell you, this is the hinge of the whole miracle, will be how many vessels she borrows. He told her, go abroad and go to all your neighbors and borrow not a few. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can't be too bashful. Do y'all have any vessels in here? Oh, what am I going to use them for? I really don't know. But I'll take all your empty vessels, because they had a lot of empty vessels. Everybody had empty vessels. It was a famine. And then you collect them all up and say, you got any more? I'll take that one too. You can't be too shy. Oh, you don't want to give me your vessels? Okay, well, I'll find somebody else. No, I want your vessels. And I want all your vessels. And I want to borrow them for a little while, if you don't mind. Now, it's kind of funny. She's in debt and she's going to borrow. God knows how to get you out of debt by borrowing. Borrow His wisdom. And I promise you, it'll get you out of any situation when you borrow His wisdom. So they loaded up their arms. They loaded up everything. They said, I want you to go in. And he said, I want you, when you go in, to shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out. Oh, listen to this. Pour out and into all those vessels. Not three or four. See, the miracle hinged on how many vessels she borrowed. And set aside that which is full. Now, we can jump ahead, and I tell you, that, as you know, they're going to sell this. But if she had said, well, three ought to be enough, four ought to be enough, couldn't have got her out of debt. So your deliverance depends on listening very closely to what God is telling you to do. And if He says not a few, don't come back with a few and expect the same miracle. It's not going to happen. And so she went and she shut the door. And her sons brought the vessels. And she poured out. It's just like when Christ said, when you pray, Brother Valentine, He said, I want you to go in. I want you to shut the door. And I want you to pour out. You have to pour out what you have. Listen close. You have to pour out what you have into the world's emptiness. Can I jump ahead a little in the sermon? They have what you need, and you have what they need. And she poured out. She poured out. And when you go into your closet, I pray about a certain situation and I pray until I've poured out. And I can't pray about it anymore. I don't know anything else to say till tomorrow night and I'll be back. But then I pray on this one and I pray to that one and I pour out. And I'm afraid we're not pouring out. We're just putting a little. And He said, pour until it's full. And she was pouring out what? Oil. What is oil? Oil, and most likely olive oil, Brother Valentine. I don't know, but most likely. And olive oil. How do you get olive oil out of an olive? Crush it. Crush it. And I will tell you, you won't pour out until you're crushed. And when you get crushed, you'll be willing to pour out. I'm not talking about in the sixth grade when your boyfriend left you. I'm not talking about that kind. Had a crush on. I'm talking about when you are devastated, then there's some things that flow out of you that don't flow out of you when everything's fine. And she is devastated. She's fixing to lose her sons. This is how bad this is. And she's pouring something that's crushed out, it's crushed, and she's pouring out the oil, but she's pouring out of herself too. Oh my God. And it came to pass, the Bible says, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. And they said, Mama, I ain't got no more. Are you sure? No, Mama, they're all full. Now, you would think that she would go, woo, hallelujah, thank God. She doesn't really know what the plan is yet. Because you know what? You can't drink oil forever. She didn't say she had meal too. Said she had a pot of oil. And not a whole lot you could do with a pot of oil if you don't have something to go with it. So she's like, okay. Sometimes, have you ever done what the Lord told you to do, Brother Johnson? You go, okay. All right. Yeah, well, okay. Now what? Well, see, here's what she does. She goes back to Him. She goes back to Him. It came when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me another vessel. Said, there's no more, and the oil stayed. And so she goes back to the man of God, chapter 4, verse 7. I want to read this to you. Then she came and told the man of God and said, the man that brought her this far said, go. Sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children off of the rest. As they come tonight, Go sell what you have and pay thy debt. See, I don't think she really was understanding why she was getting all these vessels and why she was filling them up till they were full. And I mean, what am I going to do with this oil? But he had a plan. And I don't see where he told her the plan until it was time to tell her the plan. Because the just shall walk by what? Faith. So she had to walk by faith until it got time to reveal her what she's supposed to do to pay the debt off. And Brother Johnson, I just got to believe. She went back and knocked on. You see this vessel here? Is that yours? You want it back? $5 an ounce. Make that $6. The longer you wait, it's going up. I mean, she had, listen, what the world needed. And they had what she needed. I'm telling you, I need to pour out. I need to teach a Bible study. I need to tell somebody about Jesus, and they need me to tell them about Jesus. I've got the oil. They've got the vessels. Who am I helping anybody here tonight? Hallelujah. And so I imagine she wasn't too bashful, saying, well, I'll take a nickel for it. No, she got two boys, brother, that's fixing to go to the pokey. She got to get some big bucks for this. Let me tell you, it was top dollar. And you know how come I know it was top dollar? Because she paid it all off and could live. How long did you work at PPG? To live off the rest. She did it in one day, maybe. You worked 36 years to do what she did in one day. You build up all this so you can live off the rest. And in one day of obedience, she paid all of her debt off and lived on the rest. And you know what? It brought rest to her house, rest to her soul. It brought stability to that house. It brought stability to those boys' life who lost their father. Hallelujah. The world has what you need, a vessel. And you have what they need, the oil. And we need to go out, not just a few, but to everybody and tell them what good things God has done. It's like the man that Jesus healed, and he said, shh, don't tell nobody. The Bible says he went and published it. He got him a lanyard paper. He said, y'all look here, the Lord healed me, everybody. Man, they started flocking Christ because he wanted to share with them. He could have just said, boy, I don't want nobody to know how God healed me of that. Oh, no, he wanted to share with them what God had, good things God had done for him. Will you stand with me tonight? Will you get the mindset, I've got to share this thing? And you will find when you begin to share the oil that God has with you with those empty vessels, they're going to go, see, Brother Douglas, you give out those CDs and they cry when you give them those CDs. He'll give some CDs out in Walmart and they get their little buggy and they go around and I'm sure they read a few of the titles and think about it and they run into him at checkout and they go, oh, thank you so much for giving me those CDs. You just don't know how much I appreciate that. You know what it does for him? Ooh. He comes back to me and says, Brother Baggs, you got any more of them CDs? I just want to pass them. See, it's helping him and it's helping them. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe as we sing tonight, you could just kind of rethink, hallelujah, your situation. Quit focusing on what you lost and start focusing on what you got left. Hallelujah. And start thanking God, I got a little oil. Yes.